AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570, an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
All right, here we go. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete. Happy Tuesday on AM 570 LA Sports.
Happy Tuesday.
All right, Rodney, before we really get into it today, we have to send our condolences to Vin Scully.
Yes, yes.
Marty Squires, who listens to the show, actually sent a tweet yesterday to us. And she heard in church on Sunday that Vin's wife, Sandy, was in grave condition in the hospital.
Yeah.
So I checked with Steve Brenner while we were on the air. He said, please don't mention that.
Yeah.
Please don't. And we obviously respected the wishes of Steve, speaking for Vin, not to mention it. And then we found out later in the afternoon that Sandy Scully, his wife, had passed from ALS. Now, I had run into them at Dodger Stadium. It was a couple of years ago. I actually ran into him in a suite. And by the way, And you knew Sandy, if you didn't know her, she had a heart of gold.
Yeah.
She was incredibly kind, very generous, didn't miss a beat, knew everything, knew you, could speak to you about your family, stuff you don't even realize she knew.
Wasn't that the most impressive thing, especially when you hear someone that suffered from ALS, but to know her when you know, like I've gotten to know Vin, met him several times, I've seen him several times, and her as well. They're always together. But the fact that she, and sometimes you don't give a whole lot of thought about this until you kind of walk away, but that, yes, she remembers you. She knows you. She knows the conversations and then, you know, remembers things from the last conversation that you had with her. And it just made it so personal when people can do that. And both of those, both Ben and her are extraordinary people at that.
Yeah.
It's not lip service when they talk to you.
It really wasn't. I mean, when I ran into them, she asked about my kids. She asked about how everything was going. She really was a very special and remarkable person. And when I ran into them out at the stadium and they were seated, they were in a suite, I walked up and said, how you doing? And I don't know if Vin had turned his head, Rodney. Maybe he was speaking to someone else. And she said to me, you know, I have ALS. I'm not doing well. I mean, she told me then. And, you know, your heart kind of sinks when somebody says that to you.
Yeah.
And she battled and she fought. And she was really, truly the love of Vin's life. She was. And we lost her on Sunday night. It was reported yesterday. It just a terrific, terrific person. She was 76 years old. Vin wasn't taking any calls. I mean, you can understand that he is completely devastated by this news. Devastated by the news. You know, between them, 6 kids, 21 grandkids, I think 6 great grandkids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we personally know one of Vin's granddaughters because she was in school at the same time in high school and in elementary school that my sons Jack and Josh were. So she would come over to the house. Yeah. So really, our heartfelt condolences to Vin, all of the kids. It's a very tough day, and we wanted to let you know that, Vin, we feel for you.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay. Now, let's do this real quick, because I mentioned it, and I caught you off guard, I could tell, because I would never say anything like this.
Yeah, no, it needed to be said, absolutely. I was thinking about it all day yesterday when it came out. It did, yeah. You know, obviously, you know, Dodger folks were talking about it, and then it was all over everywhere, especially, yeah. He's, you know, they hold such a special place in our hearts in LA.
Yeah.
You know, as much as Vin does around the world, but certainly here in LA, they're a special royalty family. So, so yeah, it's a difficult day.
Okay. The Chargers are number one. It's the
number one.
Yeah. It's the first time since they've been in Los Angeles that I can say they are clearly on top.
Hold on. Let me sit back in my chair because I want to see Uncle Fred spin this one. I want to see how you go, where you go with this bad boy right here. Chargers are number one.
Clearly, right now, for the first time, on top in LA. And the reason they're number one is because they do now have the most coveted coaching position in the league. There are six openings. This is number one. This is the pristine job.
Okay, so let's run down the six openings that are there. We've got the Jets.
You don't want right? that.
We've got, what else we got? We
Detroit.
Got Detroit.
I don't think you want that.
You have Jacksonville.
Jacksonville.
With the number one pick and possibly Trevor Lawrence.
Right, you get the number one pick in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence.
That's enticing for some.
Yeah, sure, it would be enticing.
You've got, what, the Texans, right?
Houston, not bad.
Yeah.
That's not a bad job.
Got a superstar quarterback and a all-pro defensive player in J.J. Watt.
Right, that's not a bad job.
Got a good core.
Decent core.
Yeah.
That's not a bad job.
Where else?
What do we say, Detroit?
Detroit, the Jets, Jacksonville, Houston, Chargers. There's one more, right?
And there's one more. And whatever that one is, we don't want it. What does it matter? We can't even think about it. It doesn't count.
We don't want it.
No.
We don't want it.
So of the five we mentioned and the one we don't know, the most enticing job is the Chargers. They've got the best roster. They've got the best quarterback. Maybe Trevor Lawrence will be good. Maybe he won't. But we know Justin Herbert is. And we know he could be a superstar. They've got the best roster. They've got the best job opening. They're number one. And I say congratulations. It took you a long time, but they finally climbed to the top. They're number one. The Chargers have
They're
the best
number
job.
Number one.
Yeah, they do.
No, it's very enticing. Absolutely. Very enticing. My thing is, yeah, you go down the list. The Jets, they've got so much work to do. And I just don't know how well they turn that around because I think it's an organizational problem with the Jets more so than anything else. Jacksonville, same thing. I think it's an organizational issue. I mean, it's a team that went to the championship game, had New England on the ropes, what, 3 years ago, Kevin?
Yep, 2017.
2017 was leading going into the fourth quarter in the championship game in New England. And then nobody's left on that team.
Right.
Basically. The team is all gone. And now they're sitting with the number one pick in the draft again. So just going to recycle this again. If I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm almost pulling the Eli and say, I don't want to play down there. I may come back to school. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I want to, I don't know if I want to go down there. The only one I'd say that would be comparable to the Chargers is the Houston one. It's very enticing.
By the way, we forgot Atlanta. That
Atlanta
was the one we forgot.
Another one. Yeah. That's another one. I think they got a world of talent in Atlanta that could be very enticing with established quarterback that can play, tremendous wide receiver group. Talent level is off the charts in Atlanta. So yeah, that's a very attractive job. But if I'm thinking about Houston, and I've got my quarterback who's proven for the next 10 years, That's a very enticing one too. But I hear you with LA. The only difference is LA because you say they're number one, but we all know in this town they're number eight.
True.
You know, and that's a problem. That's a problem. The pressure to be relevant in this town with the Chargers is very difficult. You're going up against the team that plays in the same building who built the building for you, and that you're playing in the shadows of. And then you're dealing with champion Dodgers and champion Lakers and Clippers that are playoffs and all those type of things. So where do you come in the pecking order? I mean, the pressure to win, although it's not pressure because the bar hasn't been very high for them. But as time goes on in LA, they're going to have to produce at some point. Otherwise, you know, they might as well go back to San Diego.
Well, the bottom line is this: baby steps. They're number one finally in something. And that's good news. And now they can just grow on that.
They're number one to a lot of people in San Diego. That yeah, one might be a middle finger, but it's a one. So.
Hey, now, that was pretty good. Wasn't bad, Kevin.
I'm good for one every year.
That was it. And it's early.
Yep, so I'm done.
So I'll talk to you next year.
Yep.
Okay, by the way, 24-hour rule. In 24 hours, you can rethink your position. Eric Dickerson said one thing. Bill Plaschke said one thing. But you get 24 hours. Everybody can rethink it. We're not going to talk to them today.
What did I say? Here.
You said Jared Goff plays over John Wolford.
100%.
Okay, you're not rethinking that.
No.
They both said, you got to, well, Plaschke said, I don't know, they should ship Jared Goff off to a foreign land because Wolford's your guy. And Eric said, "There, you know, there's no way. He can run, and that's what you need, and it's going to be cold, and Goff's thumb is going to be sore, and you got to play Wolford." You had 24 hours to reconsider your position, and you're not reconsidering.
Not at all. This is absolutely absurd, Fred. Absurd. If Jared Goff can play at all, you got to play him. I mean, talking to a guy that played one game, and you're going to send him out to the Wolves of Seattle, up in Seattle, and expect him to have a great result. The problem is, you know, if you're Jared Goff and you're sitting there and you know you can play, but they decide not to start you, your mind is already screwed up. Your mindset is screwed up. So now he struggles for two quarters, throws four interceptions. They don't have anybody to go to make a change, so they're trying to make a change to you, and you're sitting there, you're pissed off because you thought you should have started the game. It's a doomsday effect. The better way to go is to go the other way around. If Jared Goff goes and it looks like he can't play, then you bring him in, then you bring Wolford in. But to start Wolford, if Jared Goff can play, is the worst decision they could ever make.
You know, I agreed with you yesterday. You've got a guy you're paying a lot of money to be your quarterback.
Who's delivered.
Yeah. He struggled this year, but he has delivered in the past.
Yes.
Okay, and maybe they're figuring him out, and maybe he's just having a bad run here, but he has delivered.
When did Jared Goff, when was his rookie year? 17 or 16? What was it?
16, I believe.
Yeah, 16.
16. So this is his fourth year?
Mm-hmm.
This is fourth year, right, Kevin?
Yes.
Fourth year. How many times have they been to playoffs?
This is his fifth year, actually. And they've been to the playoffs three of his 5 years, I believe.
Boom.
They missed his first year. That was Jeff Fisher. We don't count that. And then last season, they missed the playoffs for the first time with McVay.
Yeah.
And he's been to the Pro Bowl twice. Yeah, we can't discount
because he didn't start till week 10 of his rookie year.
Correct.
Or whatever.
So you can't even count that against him. He played seven games that year.
Yeah. So of the 4 years he started, they've been to the playoffs three times.
Fair.
And even last year when they missed, the playoffs, they were 9-7. Good enough to make it in a lot of years.
Right. So you're going to start this guy over a guy that got you.
This guy was a star of the AAF or whatever.
The problem. Oh, yeah, the star of the AAF. Yes, they couldn't pay their players. That league, that's the one we're talking about?
Yeah.
The problem with this, Fred, and I'm blaming you, is that BS, you, because you start this topic, and there are a lot of people that listen to you, Fred, because you do have a lot of credibility out there. And there are a lot of people out there that listen to people like you, Fred, and make decisions off of that. And it happens with GMs and coaches all the time. You remember the guy in Buffalo who had Tyrod Taylor take him all the way and get him into the playoffs?
And play Mr. Peterman?
And play Mr. Peterman for no apparent reason? He throws five interceptions in the first half against the Chargers? You remember that?
Yeah.
So there are people out there that listen to you. Oh, we got to go with Peterman. Peterman's our guy. That Wolford's our guy.
I remember Vic. We got to go Peterman. Peterman's the guy.
Remember Vic? Yes.
Vic was like, oh, my God, this is great news. They're playing Peterman. You know, Kevin, do me a favor.
Oh, my
goodness. We have to update the board.
You want me to put Mr. Peterman in there, don't you?
No. I want you to take the part where Rodney said, Fred, you have a lot of credibility. I want that on the board.
Oh, you got,
can you put that on, please?
Sure.
After my full-on rant, that's what you took away from that, huh, Brad? Brad, you got
to that's the only thing I heard.
After that.
Wait, did you say anything else?
I'll make sure to put that right next to the Fugazi sound drop there, Rodney.
Okay, well, by the way, I agreed with Rodney yesterday, and I still do today. Now, Dodger fans, and we'll open the lines in the next segment. Here's the deal. According to reports, Justin Turner wants a four-year contract. Dodgers are offering a 2-year contract. This according to reports. Let's say they're accurate. Will they compromise at 3? We don't know. We know this. If they can't compromise, if they can't come together, there's a good possibility that they're really going to take a run at DJ LeMahieu. If they do that, according to reports, that's going to put them over this threshold for salary, and they're going to start paying tax. They didn't pay tax last year. No team really wants to do it. You could make the argument, if any team could do it, it'd be the Dodgers. Rodney, if Justin Turner, who is 36 years old, wants a 4-year deal, and you're Andrew Friedman, and you're being honest now, you know, somehow we have to remove the emotion because it really is business, would you give him a 4-year deal?
And so we're saying that the reports are accurate, that Justin wants 4 and Dodgers are willing to give him 2.
Correct.
But the money per year is okay.
We're not talking, money doesn't seem to be the issue at this point.
Right. Okay. Then, yeah, I go hard at Justin, say let's meet in the middle at 3. And if they can settle at 3, we call it a day. And you play hardball as long as you can. And you tell Justin, if you can get a 4-year deal out there, then go get a 4-year deal. But we're willing to offer you 3. Because, you know, although, real quick, we talk about LeBron. LeBron James is a different animal at 36 than most athletes at 36. So to try to compare them. But I will say, outside of Corey Seager and Mookie Betts, probably Justin Turner had the best postseason. I mean, he was on point, and the Dodgers don't win if he doesn't come up with some of the big hits that he had and home runs that he had in the postseason.
What about that defensive play?
And defensively as well. So he hasn't fallen off that much. So I would pay him.
You'd give him 3.
3.
You wouldn't go
and
4.
And I'd hold out on 4. I mean, I might be persuaded. I'm not closing the door on 4, but I'm pushing hard to just make it a 3-year deal and call it a day.
Okay, so you're going 3. Dodger fans, here's the question. And we want you to weigh in because you know what Justin Turner has meant to the franchise, to you as a fan, and to the city overall. If he says, I want 4 and it's no go, 4 or nothing, are you going to give him that 4? 866-987-2570. How are you going to finesse this to get Justin Turner to sign with the Dodgers? Again, 866-987-2570. What do you do here? He wants 4. Dodgers are saying 2. Rodney says, we'll meet at 3. What if that's not going to work? Are you going to let Justin Turner walk? We'll hear from you next.
Hooping hard for the man in the mask.
LA Clipper basketball is back. And AM 570 LA Sports is your official home. Kawhi's former team, the Spurs, are in LA to battle the Clippers tonight. Pre-game at 6, tip-off at 7.
The home of the Clippers. Hogan and Rodney.
Rodney Peace.
An athlete.
Rodney Peace.
A father.
Rodney Peace.
An LA icon.
Rodney Peace.
And this guy.
Red Rogan.
Boo!
AM 570 LA Sports.
Turn down for what?
Yes. Happy Tuesday in 2021. The first Tuesday of 2021, Freddie.
Yep.
Rodney Peace, Fred Rogan. Yes. First Tuesday, right?
First Tuesday indeed, Rodney. And we're about 6 weeks away from when spring training is supposed to start.
Already?
Yeah. Will it start? I don't know.
I hope so.
Does anybody know? Really? It's going to start at some point.
Does anybody really know what time it is?
Anybody really care? About time. He was singing a song, Kevin. We were not saying we didn't care about the dot. Jesus, Kevin. He was singing.
All I heard was like, oh, well, spring training is going to start soon. At least we think so. And I didn't hear Rodney saying anything. I just heard Fred say, does anyone care?
Yeah, it was in reference to the Chicago song, Kevin.
Yes,
not does anybody care about the Dodgers.
About to say, of course we care.
Good God.
Turning into you, friend. I can't hear all of a sudden.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I resemble that remark. And there's this.
First of all, I ain't no bitch.
So stop it.
All right.
Nobody called you a bitch, Fred.
No, I know what Kevin was suggesting.
Oh.
It was in his tone. And he knows it too.
Oh.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Okay. So if Justin Turner wants a 4-year deal and the Dodgers say 2. So, I mean, and maybe when these things, Rodney, are positioned publicly, you know, from people that are not authorized to speak, it's so everybody wins in the negotiation.
Yeah.
We split the difference. We called it 3. It's all good.
Yeah.
would you give him four? That's the question, Dodger fans. 866-987-2570. Steve in Santa Monica, Happy New Year. What do you think?
Happy New Year, Fred. No way, Fred. You don't give it to him for two reasons. He'd be 40, and DJ LeMayu's out there to replace him. He's 4 years younger.
Yep.
He's a two-time batting champion. And on top of that, you double down and get Liam Hendricks, and you announce to the baseball world that we don't look like giving up our defending champion crown easily. You get Liam Hendricks and DJ LeMayu.
Yeah.
You don't have to give up any draft picks.
Wait a minute. Steve, I got to tell you something. Are you playing the name game? If you re-sign Justin Turner, are you not telling the baseball world we're still here to defend our championship? Are you saying signing Justin Turner?
Fred.
What?
Fred.
Yes.
Fred.
Yes.
DJ LeMayu, get it, Fred. DJ LeMayu is 5 years younger. DJ LeMayu hit 364. DJ LeMayu can play three positions. And if you get DJ LeMayu in the middle of that lineup and you sign Liam Hendricks, now you let the Padres and everybody else know that we're going to defend our crown. That's what Andrew Friedman needs to do.
And why do you need to sign Hendricks too?
Easily what everybody needs to do. He needs to do.
Why do you got to sign Hendricks too?
Because they need a closer in the back end. Kenley can't close anymore. And then here's the scuttlebutt.
Oh, okay.
If you do that.
Steve's going to give us the scuttlebutt.
If you do that.
Yeah.
Listen, if you do that,
yes.
Scott Boras is going to let Seager go to free agency. The Yankees are going to sign him if we sign DJ. That way we keep our prospects and we can trade for Frankie Lindor.
All right.
That's going to happen.
All right, Steve. All right,
we
Steve.
Take
Steve.
DJ LeMayu.
Steve, that's good.
The Yankees will go after Corey Seager.
Steve, that's good. All right. Thank you, Steve. Happy New Year. Appreciate you listening. You know what? Kevin,
what's LeMayu going to cost?
What? Can you just book him?
I'll book Steve tomorrow.
We're going to get rid of Assay.
Yeah.
And we'll book Steve. Because Steve's like 2 years down the road here.
We went from signing Justin Turner to question to get DJ LeMayu and Liam Hendricks.
And Corey Seager's going to the Yankees.
Corey Seager's going to the Yankees. And
all right. Go ahead, JC and Sherman Oaks.
Hey, Happy New Year. So nice to talk to you guys. You guys bring a lot of joy to our family. So
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate that, JC.
By the way, I want to be on a debate with that guy because he's so wrong. Our family was debating this over Christmas dinner, believe it or not. And of course you pay him. Of course you pay him. Like, there's no question you pay him. 4 years, 2 years, it doesn't matter. Just because he's 5 years older does not mean he's any better or any worse.
All right, JC.
I'm 51 years old.
How old are you?
I'm the oldest on my softball team. I'm 51.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, and my grandfather came here from Costa Rica in the 50s. I learned about Dodger history my whole life. And what I've learned is this. Leadership, what he brings to the city, what he brings to the table, what he brings to the team, there's no monetary value to put on that. And
right on.
You bring it back, and you get the money back a hundredfold.
JC, thanks for the call.
He's right. You can't put a value on leadership. And he's going to cost you a lot less than DJ LeMayu. And why not work out a deal? Like, say, okay, you want 4 years, Justin. We'll make it 3 years. And the last year, you give us a break or whatever, and it's a curtain call year for you. But you're not going to break the bank for 4 years. You break it, you know, we'll pay you for three. And then last year you play for the club minimum or whatever they come up with to make sure that he retires in a Dodger uniform. That alone, just making sure that happens, does a lot for an organization and the team and the clubhouse and the way Justin has met and what he's meant to this team and the city, I think does a wonder. So you figure out a way to make it work.
And on a year-to-year basis, I'm not exactly sure what the figure is that Justin is looking for. That hasn't been reported, at least not that I've seen. DJ LeMayu, the reports are he's looking for a five-year, $125 million contract. So that's about 25 per year.
Let's go Anthony in Norwalk. Anthony, what's going on? Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year's, guys. I don't think he should get 4 years. Even 3 years, like you said, is a stretch, but if he can go into a mentoring role that last year or two, then maybe you would give him that.
So what you're saying is give him two and then a curtain call year for year three?
Yeah, I mean, at 39, I mean, what is his value really going to be? I don't think he can stay healthy the whole year.
Anthony, thanks for the call. You see, Rodney, here's what he, at least this is what I'm taking from what he's saying. And sometimes we think with our hearts, and sometimes we think with our heads. In business, you think with your head. And sometimes those choices you make are painful because you're not speaking from your heart. And what he's saying here is, okay, he's going to say Justin's got two more good years in him. This is what I believe Anthony was saying. All right, we'll give you the curtain call year for that third year, but that's what it's going to be. And that's just the way it plays out.
Yeah, but here's the thing, too. If you sign LeMahieu, are you going to be able to keep Seager and Bellinger?
Well, then it goes into this. First, probably no. But moreover, do they want to spend money on the tax?
Yeah.
And they'll be in the threshold, the tax threshold, if they went out and signed LeMahieu.
Where was Justin? Justin was, right, when he signed that deal, he was around 15 a year per, Kevin, somewhere around
there,
I think.
Don't you
it's
think?
Somewhere between 15 and 20. I don't know the exact number.
Yeah, that's what I
head.
Thought. He wasn't a 20-plus year guy. And so if you can get him for 15 versus LeMahieu's 25, I'm taking that all day long with Justin Turner.
But if you signed
and,
him.
And you've got the thing about the Dodgers is that they got so much depth. I mean, Edwin Rios came in and filled in for Justin Turner, and we saw what he can do. You know, maybe not as good defensively, but certainly at the plate, he came through for the Dodgers. And with the depth, they can afford to rest Justin Turner, you know, throughout the season to make sure he is healthy for the postseason.
Okay, let's go Adam in L.A. Adam, Happy New Year. You're on AM 570 L.A. Sports. What's up?
Fred, Rodney, Happy New Year, man. Yeah, I love the show, man. You guys are the best in L.A. for sure.
Thank you.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, 100%. I would not give him 4 years, and it's kind of weird because I wouldn't want to give him all 4 years, and it depends on the money. But I will say that Justin Turner is an Angeleno. He went to Cal State Fullerton. I mean, he is the glue of the team, and leadership goes a long way because those youngsters, man, they go as he goes. If he gets rattled, they start getting rattled. So I want to keep him, and if it's 4 years, we got to work out the money. And Rodney, you made a great point because that's not what I was thinking too. I mean, the Boricua. I mean, Rios, he's only going to get better. So yep. We do have a backup there, and we probably have the deepest team in both leagues. So I don't really think we need LeMahieu. I think that we'd be good with Justin. We just got to work the money with him and let him know that, hey, man, you're the rock. We want you here, and hopefully he plays ball with us and we take it from there.
Adam, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Okay, let's go. Let's go Dennis in Riverside. Dennis, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Happy New Year to you, Dennis.
Happy New Year to you. Hey, there's no doubt you sign him for 4 years. Money's not an object to the Dodgers. He's not going to break the bank. Remember, he came in, what, 8 or 9 years ago as a free agent or whatever, and he was going to be assigned in the minor league. He's worked his way up to where he's been. He's a solid citizen in the community. He's a solid citizen in baseball. They take their three best pitchers and they rest them to get them ready for the playoffs. There's no problem with sitting Turner on the bench a few days a year to rest him and get him ready for the playoffs. Like Rodney said, he's a playoff-type player. There's no doubt about it. And who knows what's going to happen with the DH? I haven't followed it recently.
Yeah, I don't think it's around for this season. Dennis,
yeah,
thanks.
But if he's here,
thanks for the call, Dennis. No, we don't know what's going to happen with the DH, but it's not around this season.
Most likely, it's not happening this coming season.
Right, but then that'll be a point of the collective bargaining, and maybe I would think long term it'll be there. And I hear Dennis's point about what's going to happen with the DH. You can have him. And that would be valuable, and it really would be. So it comes down to this. If you want to sign Justin Turner, you're not going to sign LeMahieu. If you don't sign LeMahieu, this is what you've got. You build from within. And do you miss an opportunity? I mean, I think that's what Andrew Friedman is dealing with. And also, Rodney, and Andrew told us this on the show, so we're not talking out of school because he said it. We told our guys, go look around. See what's out there for you. We'll be really honest with what we think. You go find out what's out there for you. And if there's something you like out there and we can't match it, you know, we're going to miss you, but we understand it's a business. So you got to go. And I think that's kind of where they are with Justin right now. He's told them what he wants. If he can get that somewhere else, he'll probably take it, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how close it is, right? You know, if the money's close, I think he stays here. Now, they're, you know, baseball's crazy, just like basketball is, and people scratch their heads on certain contracts that guys get, and there might be a team out there that may think they're Justin Turner player away from putting them over the edge and getting them to the next level, and they go out and they really pay for it and overpay maybe. And so he's got to look at that. This is his last contract going out. So, you know, you got to go try to make it while you can. And, you know, if somebody's willing to, I don't want to say overpay, because you get what you can.
Yeah, the market value.
Yeah, and if someone's willing to pay you double what the Dodgers are going to pay you, then as a businessman, as a family man, you got to go, you know, unfortunately. But if the money's close, I would imagine Justin would figure out a way and the Dodgers would figure out a way to keep him.
Miko in Compton, Happy New Year.
Hey,
Miko!
Happy New Year to Dean and Sweet 16. Happy New Year to y'all. Hey, Justin Turner, he's too attached. I mean, the Dodgers are an analytical team. They analytical on the field, up in the business, up in the office. So if they offering you 2 years, man, take it. He don't deserve no 3 years. I mean, he's an all-time leader in hits in the postseason, but you just been to the postseason a lot. If it wasn't for the bubble, you know, I'm not going to say the Dodgers just won it because of the bubble.
You better bite your tongue, Miko.
Through that phone, and you know what, Miko, it's on in Compton.
Yeah, and so I don't think, he's not making no huge difference. He can go to the Angels. He's from Cal State Fullerton. When you win the championship, you take that championship experience. I'm sure Artie Moreno would love to have Justin Turner back in Anaheim. He has a soft lead this spot.
Miko, what's wrong with you? Miko, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you?
I mean, the guy exposed the whole team to the COVID. You're a team player, you don't want to be a team player inside a 2-year deal.
No, listen. Listen, first of all,
Danny Green not with the Lakers no more because he got a ring. You go get money somewhere else. Dwight Howard not
Danny Green is not with the Lakers anymore because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, and they traded him.
Okay.
After the finals.
And Justin Turner can't agree to 2 years. It's tomato, tomato. If you can't take the 2-year deal, DJ LeMahieu, we can get DJ LeMahieu, and you want to try to strong-arm the Dodgers, man, come on. Justin Turner's not all that. He's a good leader. He's going to play the role.
For $15 million more than you paid Justin Turner. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, this L.A. Come on, what? Money's no object. Mookie Betts, DJ LeMahieu, Justin Turner's not on that level. Come on, Rodney Pete. You're not that Justin Turner. Now, if you want to take the 2-year deal, take it. But if you want Artie Moreno give you 4 years, all the money you want, you could take leadership, go
Miko,
back down there by Miko, Fullerton.
Miko, two things.
Why are you trying to send him to the Angels, Miko?
You've already determined. The question is, should the Dodgers give him 4 years? You've determined that he's now going to play for the Angels. So you're already assuming that the Angels are going to give him 4 years. But moreover than that, you said money's no object. Miko, it's not. When it's not yours. When it's somebody else's money, who cares? But they do have a plan they're going to stick to.
The Dodgers are talking. They want DJ LeMahieu, so they talking about their money. They got Mookie. They not worried about no money. Come on, Dean. They got to make a strong. If Justin Turner wants to sign for the 2 years, go ahead. That's being a team player, and of course, only a 2-year deal. If you're trying to strong arm the Dodgers right now, come on, you can't strong arm the Dodgers. They on top of the world.
All right, Miko.
You can get up out of here. Everybody expendable except Mookie.
All right.
And Dave Roberts.
All right, goodbye, Miko. Goodbye, Miko.
I'm the Dean.
Boy. You can tell Miko hadn't had anybody to talk to for 2 weeks.
Miko had a lot to say. It's 2021. He's just getting started, Fred.
All right, let's get
through
these.
My man, Miko.
We got two more real quick. All right, God, here's Joe. All right, Joe, real quick, go ahead.
Why you do that to Joe?
Because Joe's going to do like War and Peace. You know that. Joe's got a lot to say. No. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay, all right. I say 4 more years.
as Rodney, you know, with regard to what you did, you created monster, Rodney. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. I know.
Because you know what the rule is, Rodney? You give people their flowers after they've died. You don't say Fred has credibility while he's alive. You say that at a funeral.
I know. He believed that. That's and I couldn't even slip it in there. He picked that up and didn't hear anything else but that.
Kevin, can you pull that for later in the show?
Oh, it's already been deleted. Sorry.
No.
Sorry. We can't recover it.
Yeah, Joe, man. I apologize, brother. Right. I apologize. I opened up that can of worms.
All right.
Big up to Kevin, fellow Cal State LA Golden Eagle.
I got you, Joe. Go Eagles.
Goodbye, Joe. All right, final call on this. And what better way to wrap it up than family member and longtime listener, Isabel. Go ahead, Isabel.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks. First of all, I want to give my sympathy to Vince Kelly. So I love the guy, so I feel real bad for him. So, but I love Justin. He's one of my favorite. I would not give him 4 years. But if the Dodgers can somehow, you know, just work it out with him, just still keep him, you know. But
I don't like that.
He's getting older in age, and
that's not good.
I don't want to lose him, but. No. Somehow they can, you know, just work it out, you know.
All right, Isabel. Thank you very much, okay. Isabel. Thanks. Happy New Year to you as well. If Isabel says don't give him 4 years, that's the one person.
We in trouble.
We wrapped up with Isabel, and I thought she's going to say, I'll give him 4 years. We love Justin Turner because I wouldn't give him 4 years. I don't know if that's going to be an ominous sign or not. Okay, next hour, we'll get more into the NFL. Vinny Bonsignor will jump on as the Rams get ready to take on the Seahawks. Also, next hour, we're going to talk some Lakers and the role of KCP and what he has meant to this team.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
Cheers, here's to nothing, hold the tears. What for something can we drink? Drink to nothing, can we toast to the pain? Let's toast to the pain, walking through West L.A. Baby,
yeah.
You watch food chain, swinging like my mood.
Tuesday edition of Afternoon Delight is Cheers by Black Bear. This is the first release by the Florida native since releasing his Everything Means Nothing LP earlier this year. The 30-year-old pop star recruits Pittsburgh rapper Wiz Khalifa for this song, which has amassed nearly 1 million streams since its release last week. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Cheers by Black Bear featuring Wiz Khalifa.
Rodney, you know what I say to you?
What do you say?
I miss the old Jew.
Miss the old Jew?
You, not you. Oh.
What?
I miss the old you.
Oh, you miss the old
you. You know that Black Bear song?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Digital Drug Lord?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Kevin goes, I miss the old Jew better. No, you're talking to that guy.
All right. And now, from the court to the courtroom with Jacob M. Ronnie.
Okay, we kick off the new year with our weekly visit with our good friend Jacob M. Ronnie. Of course, Jacob is a sponsor of the show, and he's a proud partner of the Lakers. It's funny, when we bring Jacob on, some people think, oh, you just bring this attorney on. Truth of the matter is, we bring on a guy that has a lot of inside information about the Lakers because he is a sponsoring partner of that franchise. And he's ready to go right now. So, Jacob, Happy New Year and welcome to the show.
Happy New Year, gentlemen. What a you know, beautiful thing to start the year on the phone talking to my two favorite guys who run LA Radio.
Ah, I love it.
Well, you know, Jacob, it's funny you bring that up because there are those that say I have an awful lot of credibility.
Oh, Jacob, you know, I made a mistake early in the show, Jacob, saying that I said in my opening statement, I said, Fred, you know, you got a lot of credibility in this town and people listen to you. And that's all he heard. He didn't hear anything else after that. Jacob.
Listen, selective listening is also a talent.
Well, no, I mean, he made his point. He went on for seven more minutes, but the only thing I took was the first 30 seconds, and I went...
You took the most important part of it.
Exactly, Jacob. All right, you know, we want to talk about this later in the show, but since we've got you and you are involved with the Lakers, and as more than just a fan, you're really involved with them and you know stuff. KCP, who, when he first got here, I think was just all over the place. Now he has become a leader on that team. Does that surprise you?
You know, it's just amazing, you know, when people are given an opportunity to have natural growth rather than, you know, really be under sort of the spotlight. I mean, I always remember last season when the season started, he, you know, as, you know, Laker fans were beating him up on everything that was happening. And then towards the end of the season, you know, when we went into the bubble, he was probably just as important as LeBron and, you know, AD for us with a lot of the key shots he hits. Now he's talking like a savvy vet. I mean, you know, the guy's becoming a leader. He's the voice that you need on a team. And it kind of reminds me of the days when the Lakers had the dynasties going on, you know, when you ended up having these guys who were like the vets, you know, that were there that brought a calming voice. And, you know, this season, you know, just the way he's carrying himself, the way he's speaking, you know, it is a surprise to me. But it's a good surprise, and I'm glad that, you know, he's been able to grow in his role. And, you know, every time they give him another, you know, contract extension, so far he has been able to, you know, prove everybody that he belongs and he deserves it. And I hope he's going to do that again for us this year.
Yeah, and it's so important, I mean, to have other guys on the team other than, you know, LeBron, who's obviously the vocal one, and AD, you know, certainly coming here and being more vocal. But you need those other guys to buy in, not only buy in, but also understand that they, you know, they have a voice too, and empower them to have that voice. And I think that's a great thing. Even back to what you mentioned in the 80s Showtime Lakers, obviously Magic was the outspoken voice and Kareem was the quiet leader. But they also needed to hear, other guys needed to hear from James Worthy, and they needed to hear from Byron Scott and those guys to act as leaders alongside Magic and Kareem.
Yeah, I mean, remember when Phil Jackson came on board, you know, he brought on Ron Harper, you know, and Ron Harper was that savvy vet, you know, besides the fact that he hit some key shots for us when he was, you know, not really, you know, expected to do it, but just that sort of savvy veteran guy who's there to calm everything down is really, really important. I'm glad that this team is having it. You know, I'm having a little bit of a hard time getting into this season, to be honest with you, because of the fact that it just seems like even though these games are being played, you know, two nights in a row playing against the Spurs and then going somewhere else, you know, so, you know, I think, you know, when you see a season like this and you're expecting your team to have its ups and downs, and you can sit back and not have to only count on your stars, and you have all these role players that are stepping up. Montrez can get you 16 to 18 a night. You know, Wesley Matthews has been a little slow starting up, but I think, you know, when he heats up, he gives you 6 out of 6 and threes. We haven't had a team like this in a long time, and this is sort of, you know, look at it. 3-4 years ago, we had a bunch of young, you know, players who all had potential, and we were afraid of trading them, and are we making a mistake? And now look at the team. I mean, it just feels good to be back to what the Laker brand and what the Laker teams used to look like. So it feels good.
So LeBron James listed as questionable for the game tonight because of a sprained left ankle. Alex Caruso is out because of COVID-19 health and safety protocols. But when it comes to LeBron, Jacob, I'll tell you, if he can play, I hope they keep him out. I think they have to now protect LeBron from himself. Nothing has changed. I think he's playing two fewer minutes a game, but he's playing at the same intensity he played last year. And there's a point in time where they're going to have to protect him from himself.
You know, I agree with that. And, you know, from another point of view, I'd like for them to keep LeBron out so that AD can kind of run the team. I'd like for AD not to have LeBron there on a night and LeBron is resting, for AD to come out and say, okay, I got to be the aggressive one. I got to be the one who's going to, you know, make the difference. I got to be the one who gets in after a few minutes of a break and we're down by a couple of points. I need to hit 4 shots in a row. You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like ultimately at the end of the day, what are we doing here? LeBron at the age of 36, I still believe he's the best, you know, player in the world. But ultimately, we're also continuing to groom AD for the next sort of generation of, you know, the Lakers stars. And I feel like sometimes keeping LeBron out is going to give AD the opportunity and also the expectations to have to run the whole team. And that's, and I agree with you 100%, but I also kind of look at it in terms of seeing what AD can do without LeBron on the floor.
Hey, before we let you go, something pretty cool. Recently, you got a $1 million settlement for an accident victim, and the victim happened to be a first responder. Can you talk about that real quick?
You know, awesome. Honestly, I feel so proud of it because, you know, especially at a time like this in the past, you know, 9-10 months, we keep looking at our first responders, how they put themselves out there, how we count on them, how they're just so selfless and we count on them. And, you know, we had one of our clients who's a first responder, an AMT who was badly injured, and, you know, he needed to depend on somebody else. And, you know, we felt really, really blessed that, you know, he really, really had enough confidence to come to us. And, you know, he came to us, he was badly injured, and we were able to, you know, get him the maximum amount of money under the policy limits, which was $1 million. And not only, you know, did that help him financially, but it also helped him physically as well as, you know, his care, because he initially, Fred, was en route to go and become a firefighter. And after this accident, that dream got shattered. But being able to get, you know, the right medical care, which is always most important, the way I look at it for all my clients is medical care comes first, the settlement comes in second. But when they get the medical care and he's now back to doing what he loves, which is helping people, he actually just got sent to Sacramento to help some people up there for about a month. I mean, he's a very selfless person, and I feel really, really good that we were able to recover $1 million for somebody like that, and we were able to be there for him as a first responder. So it feels really, really good going into the new year, having helped a first responder.
Jacob Imrani, he's our buddy, he's our attorney, and he's the man, 844-24-JACOB. As always, thanks for jumping on today, Jacob.
Thanks, guys, and Happy New Year.
Okay, Jared Goff or John Wolford? I'm going to break that down.
Oh, God.
That's right. Well, you know what I think, and I have the ultimate credibility. We'll get into the NFL. Vinny Bonsignore will join us next.